John chapter 17. This is, without a doubt, one of the richest portions of Scripture that you'll ever read in the Word of God, John chapter 17. It is the longest prayer that is recorded in the Scriptures, the longest prayer that our Lord offered to the Father during His earthly ministry. There are some people who call this His high priestly prayer, and indeed it is that. It is actually the Lord's Prayer. Here we find the veil that hides the presence of God. We find it opened, and we are admitted into the holiest of all. Here we approach the secret place of God's tabernacle. We would be wise, as it were, in our hearts to take our shoes off, remembering that this is holy ground. You'll just never read a more special portion of Scripture in the Word of God than John chapter 17, because here our Lord makes bare His heart, and we learn so much about Him from this portion of Scripture. And this evening, we're just going to get an introduction to the Lord's Prayer. And then in a few Wednesday nights, we'll cover this verse by verse. Our Lord Jesus was often engaged as a praying man during His ministry. Indeed, this is how the passage begins, John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. And then He hears His petition, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. Here He goes to the Father in prayer. I think it's especially noteworthy that our Lord Jesus, it seems as though every significant event in His life, and actually it was nothing insignificant in the life of Christ, but the big steps that He took, it always involved our Savior entering into prayer. In the book of Luke, we read Luke chapter 3 and verse 21, when He was baptized, Luke tells us this: Jesus was baptized and He was praying while He was being baptized. Immediately upon beginning His public ministry, and Mark tells us that the Lord Jesus went forth to preach the gospel, but Mark also tells us in Mark 1:34, He rose up a great while before day, He went out, He departed into a solitary place, and there He prayed. He prayed at His baptism. As He began His public ministry, as He began to preach the gospel, He committed Himself to prayer. Before He ever selected His 12 disciples, the Scripture says He went up to a mountain to pray, and He did so all night to the Father. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12 says that. Before He was transfigured, you remember when He went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Peter, James, and John went with Him, and they witnessed the transfiguration of our Lord Jesus, even as Peter mentioned in his second epistle in 2 Peter chapter 1. But the Scripture says that as He, or before He was transfigured, He was engaged in prayer. Prayer. And actually, when He was dying, His dying breath, that was a prayer. Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And of all of these prayers, there's just a brief mention that there's not much said about it. The Scriptures don't go in any details about those prayers. But right here in John 17, this is a prayer in detail. It is verbatim. That means the Spirit of God, God had ordained that every word that the Savior uttered to the Father, it's recorded for the benefit of all of God's people through all of the years. Because you see, he is addressing the Father. And he does speak of the Father's glory, and that's certainly a significant portion of the prayer. But he also prays regarding himself. And then he prays regarding his disciples, those immediate 11 men who loved him, men for whom he was going to lay down his life. But more than that, at the end of the prayer in John 17, he prays for all of those who will come to believe on him through the word of these men. That is, through the word of God. So we enter in here into the very holiest of holies. And we hear the Savior speaking to the Father. It's like the Lord Jesus had ordained, indeed it had been written in the book of Providence before the world ever began, that this prayer we would all listen to. And we would enter in, at least to a little degree, into how he felt, into his requests to the Father, his petitions to the Father. And he does offer these petitions to the Father. And as we shall see, there are several requests that he makes in these prayers, in this prayer. And we're thankful for this, that all of his requests are going to be answered, because God always hears him and he always prayed according to the will of God. So this is really full of instruction for all of the people of God. And as those other times that I mentioned when our Savior prayed, he was facing perhaps a crisis or some very significant event in his life, this is the most significant event that's facing him. This is the night before his death. This is when he's going to lay down his life for us. This is when he's going to bring in everlasting righteousness for all of his people. This is when he's going to wash all of our sins away. And before that significant, great event, the greatest event of time and eternity, before that ever comes to pass, we find him in prayer. And listen, since our Savior felt it necessary to enter into fellowship and communion and petitions to the Father before these significant events, and he's God. He's the Son of God. He's praying as the servant of Jehovah. But he's the perfect one. If he felt the need to pour out his heart to the Father, how much more should we? And do we not read in the book of James that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? Listen, we're righteous people. We're justified people. We're righteous in the Lord our righteousness. I know all of our righteousness is as filthy rags, but his isn't. His is the perfect righteousness that God demands, and he has imputed that righteousness to us, that righteousness which he worked out and established by his substitutionary death upon the cross of Calvary. And before he goes to this greatest event of all time to deal with the justice of God on our behalf, he pours out his heart to God in prayer and lets us listen. He lets us listen. And I would make this recommendation to each of you tonight. When you get home, read this prayer. Just read it yourself. That's what, actually, last week I spent a good bit of time just reading this. So I just get praying that God would put it in my mind and put it in my heart. And I would recommend you do the same thing. There's such beauty in this. There's such significance in this. This is a mighty prayer prayed by our Almighty Savior. And I'm interested in what he's got to say. I'm interested in the way he approached the Father. And indeed, he does speak to him as Father. He speaks of him as the Holy Father. He speaks of him as the Righteous Father. And as he begins, he says, Father, the hour has come. He taught us to pray that way, our Father. You see, we're in the same family. He is our elder brother. And he's never been ashamed to associate with us. He calls us brethren. Brethren. I was with Scott Richardson one time. We were preaching together at a Bible conference. And we were both standing out in the vestibule greeting people as they came out. In fact, we were in Cherokee years ago, and some of y'all went to the Cherokee Bible conference, I'm sure. But anyway, he was greeting people, and I was greeting people. And somebody came out, and he said, how you doing tonight, brother? And that's what Scott said. How are you doing tonight, brother? And this fellow said, how do you know I'm your brother? You don't even know me. Scott said, you're my brother in Adam, or you're my brother in Christ. I'll get you either way. Either way. But he is our elder brother, is he not? Our great and glorious brother. And as he addresses the Father, opening up his heart to the Father in prayer, so do we. And listen, here's another amazing thing. As interested as God the Father was in this prayer of his only begotten Son, he is equally interested in our prayers. Isn't that amazing? Because he loves the Lord Jesus Christ as he loves us. Or maybe I should say he loves us as he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. We're loved with an everlasting love, with a divine love. And here he is, he prays to the Father on our behalf. Now, that which is usually called the Lord's Prayer, of course, is just a model prayer. The Savior gave that to his disciples. In fact, if you want to go over to, and I read that from Matthew 6, but go over to Luke, if you would, Luke chapter 11. And this is a different occasion, but essentially our Lord, he breaks this down to a briefer version of that which he gave the disciples' prayer in Matthew chapter 6. But here's the way it all came about. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And then briefly he gives us an abbreviated version, if you will, of what the instructions they gave in Matthew chapter 6. Now listen, as God, men prayed to Christ. They asked blessings of him, favors of him, mercy from him. As God, men prayed to him. As man, he prayed to the Father. Quite amazing. As God, men addressed him. Men requested of him. They came to him, the woman who had the daughter who was grievously vexed of the devil. She said, Lord, have mercy, the thief on the cross. Lord, remember me. They recognize he's God. And as God, they spoke to him and made their request. But here is the man, Christ Jesus, and he makes requests to the Father. Just kind of a side note, and if you want to make a note of it mentally or whatever, you can remember this. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four evangelists, we call them, these men, of course, they recorded so many of the life events of our Lord Jesus. Luke is the only one who recorded when he was, what he did when he was 12 years old. But these are men who wrote about our Lord Jesus. But it is left to Luke for this man to speak more than any other man of our Lord being occupied in prayer. Occupied in prayer. He was a man committed to prayer. And the disciples saw him praying. And they said to him, "Teach us to pray." And you know, I thought about this. That's a good prayer right there, isn't it? That's a really good prayer request. And I would say of all of us here this evening, I can't think of a better prayer to pray than this for all of us who are the Lord's people. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And they said, they added this, just like John taught his disciples to pray. Our desire is, we want to really, truly pray. You know, all of God's people, all Christians, we pray. There's no question about that. In the book of Luke, you have the publican who went to the temple. He said, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Be propitious to me. Be a mercy seat for me. I'm a sinner." That is a wonderful prayer. A wonderful prayer. Brief and to the point. I fear and I criticize myself, which I'm certainly not above criticism, and I'm not above criticism from myself. I fear sometimes I get too wordy in my prayers rather than just dealing with the issues at hand. And I heard, and this is no criticism to anybody who prays publicly here, but I've heard men get up and go on, and they pray about everything. Our country and our soldiers and, well, those are things that you should pray about in private. That's the kind of praying you do in your closet. But for those of us who are often engaged in public prayer, we want to get to the very heart of the issues and not use vain repetitions. Don't use vain. Don't say the same thing essentially over and over and over again. Because as we just studied back there and just read back in Matthew chapter 6, your heavenly Father knows the things you have need of. Don't use the same empty phrases. The false prophets of Baal. Back in 1 Kings chapter 18, you remember, the scripture says, they said, "O Baal, hear us." They said that from, the scripture says, from morning till noon. That's all they said. "O Baal, hear us. O Baal, hear us. O Baal, hear us." That's what, first of all, Baal can't hear them. But that's just an empty, vain repetition. It's useless. It's useless. And when it comes to those of us who know God, we don't want to use the same empty, vain repetition, saying the same thing over and over again. God knows what we need. Get to the heart of the issue. When the Apostle Paul went to Ephesus to preach, the people heard him preaching and they with one voice cried out for 2 hours to Diana. They said, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And they did that for 2 hours. For 2 hours. "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Don't use vain, empty phrases. And don't be long-winded in your prayers, in public prayers. These men, watch it, here's their desire. Teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. This is an acknowledgement that Jesus of Nazareth is the Lord. Teach us to pray. There was a blessedness that these men got and an instruction that they observed, not only here in Luke chapter 11, but certainly in John chapter 17, as they watched the Lord Jesus pray, as they listened to his prayer, his prayer, And it so lifted them, it so blessed them, their immediate response was, Lord, teach us to pray. Have you ever been in a meeting, in a worship service, and somebody prayed, and you thought to yourself, I wish I could pray like that. I have. Lord, that was such a blessing. That the brother blessed me so much when he prayed, Lord, teach me to pray. That's the way it was with the disciples. But listen, they weren't listening just to a mere man. They were listening to the Son of Man. And it so elevated their spirits and made them rejoice. And they were growing in grace as they listened to this one who was their master, their savior, their redeemer. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. We want to pray like you pray. Boy, I do, don't you? We all do. I want to be absolutely honest to God. And that's what our Lord was. The Lord Jesus in John chapter 17, he said, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. We pray, Lord, glorify yourself. That's what we want tonight. We want God to be glorified. We want Christ Jesus to be glorified. And we honor the Spirit of grace. We're thankful for His work in us and to us. Oh God, glorify yourself. That's our prayer. And do us good. Help us. Help us. And here is their request, as John taught his disciples. And John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. But we've got a much better master than those men had. John the Baptist would have been a great teacher, wouldn't he? He'd have been a great professor. But John the Baptist is no Lord Jesus Christ. Because John the Baptist, though he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, he's a sinner saved by grace. He's born in sin like all of us. He had to be redeemed. His sins had to be washed away. He had to be forgiven by the grace of God due to the sacrifice of Christ himself. The disciples said, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. Whoa, men, you've got a much better teacher than John the Baptist. And so do we. And here I am trying to teach us tonight and making an effort to give a little instruction to benefit us who are gathering together and who are the people of God to give us some instruction in this matter of prayer. But it's nothing like the instruction that the Lord Jesus gives. Go back to John 17. Let me just make a couple of more comments and I'll let you go for tonight. Let me tell you about John 17. It is a follow-up to John chapter 13. This is quite remarkable. Do you remember John chapter 13? The Savior washed the disciples' feet, right? You remember reading that in John chapter 13. He was engaged in service to them, washing their feet. Now in John 17, the Master is in the presence of God. He's speaking with the Father. And in each of these, in our Lord washing the disciples' feet, and here he is praying to the Father. In each of these, we see the actions of our great high priest. But the services he's rendering are different. And both of them present a wonderful representation of our Lord Jesus. In chapter 13, he's looking down at the feet of his disciples, washing their feet. Can you imagine the Lord of glory washing the feet of these men? And he's looking down at their feet. In John chapter 17, watch it now. He lifted up his eyes to heaven. He's looking in the face of God. He's looking in the face of the invisible God. Christ is looking to the Father. And here he is before the Father, submissive, as the perfect servant of Jehovah. In John 13, we see our master as the servant of his people, doing for his people, dealing with his people, looking down upon feet, feet that are dirty, the dirty feet of dirty sinners, that is, sinners who are dirty by nature. We're washed in his blood now, and he said, you're clean, but not all of you. Judas wasn't clean. But here in John chapter 17, he's praying to the Father. And this is the way I picture it. In John 13, he's got his hand on his disciples, washing their feet. In John chapter 17, he's got his hand on the very throne of God. And you know what? He's the one who brings us together. He's all in all to us. He's here, he's there, he's everything in between. He's our mediator. He's our advocate. And you can't come into the presence of God apart from the Lord Jesus. He's the ladder, Jacob's ladder. Certainly, it aptly pictured our Lord Jesus. He's the one who spans the distance between earth and heaven. Here we see him in his mediatorial character. And I'll give you this. The previous chapters, especially chapters 14, 15, and 16, we beheld Christ Jesus dealing with his people in the name of the Father, opening up the counsels of God to his people. And now we find him dealing with the Father on behalf of his people. He deals with his people on the behalf of the Father in his message. And now he deals with the Father on behalf of his people. And one last thing. In John 14, 15, and 16, we see him preaching. In John 17, we see him praying. And I'll tell you, we preach, we sow the seed, and then we pray, Lord, water the seed. Water the seed. And the two go together, preaching and praying. And before we sing our last hymn, let me close in prayer. Let's bow our heads. We thank you, Father, for this great and wonderful prayer that you have left on record for us, this the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17. And as we shall see, as we visit this, and as we study and learn, and as we glean from the scriptures here, we will see our glorious Savior in his true person. We'll see him as in the character of the Son of Man who's been exalted due to finishing the work that you gave him to do. And we shall see him as the very concerned mediator, because he prays for his people. And indeed, toward the end of the prayer, he prayed that all of your people would someday be with him, that they might behold his glory. And we know, Father, that when he prays that prayer for each of us, that will be the moment when we experience an absence from this body, and we will be present with the Lord. So thank you for leaving this on record for us. Bless as we all read this together tonight, each one of us individually, as we close out the day. What a wonderful way to close it out, to read John chapter 17. We thank you for all things in the Savior's name. Amen.